Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer with you on WNYC. Thanks for tuning in on this hot, hot day. Stay in, stay cool. Coming up later this hour, we will look at the breaking story today of the White House declaring executive privilege to keep documents out of Congress's hands about the scandalized Fast and Furious gun program. This involves something that Attorney General Holder has apparently asked the president to do. And, of course, anytime somebody says executive privilege, people with long enough memories think Nixon and Watergate. Republicans in Congress are putting a lot of pressure on the White House right now on this program that released guns into Mexico to try to track them in the drug wars there. But some of the guns got lost track of by the government. Now the White House is refusing to cooperate fully in the way that Republican Congressman Daryl Issa and others want them to. And this is breaking this morning with the declaration of executive privilege for documents that Attorney General Holder does not want to give to Congress. So we will look in a little while this hour at what exactly that is about and where this standoff is and might be headed. But first, next Tuesday is congressional primary day in New York State, and perhaps the most interesting race is for the seat in Queens that Congressman Gary Ackerman is retiring from. This newly reconfigured district includes Bayside, Flushing, Fresh Meadows, Ridgewood, and Forest Hills, among others around there. It is now a 40% Asian district and could produce New York's first Asian American member of Congress. Four Democrats are running in the primary. This could also be a Republican district. They do have a Republican member of city council from part of that district who's going to run in November. But we will do short interviews now with each of the Democratic primary candidates, Assemblyman Rory Lantzman, Assemblywoman Grace Meng, City Councilwoman Elizabeth Crowley, and Dr. Robert Mittman. And since you can see their campaign literature for their talking points easily enough on your own, we've got a set of questions that are hopefully a little different today from the usual for the candidates. So let's see how it goes. Assemblyman Rory Lantzman is first. Assemblyman, welcome back to WNYC.
It's a pleasure to be back. Thank you, Brian.
So I'm your new colleague in the House, a freshman Republican from Hippo, Kentucky. I've never been to Queens, New York. Tell me about your district.
Oh, well, Queens is the most special place in the country. It's an extraordinarily diverse borough, and this current congressional district really reflects that. And it mirrors my current assembly district, which is, I know every New York politician likes to say that their district is the most diverse, but my assembly district, I think, really takes the cake. But the district is includes much of middle-class Queens, but includes pockets of wealth and pockets of poverty. It includes a large an immigrant population from every corner of the globe, including the largest Bukharian Jewish community probably outside of Israel. It was a great place for me to be raised as a kid, to go to public schools here, Queens College. I cheated. I crossed the river to go to Columbia Law School, but it's a wonderful place to live and to raise a family.
Do you know the poverty rate in your district?
I don't know the poverty rate, and I don't know that that's been calculated because the lines are so new, but poverty is a significant problem, particularly among the new immigrant community, and it varies from neighborhood to neighborhood, but broadly speaking, we have some people in this district that are very much in need of the support of our community, our nonprofit institutions, but as well as the government programs that we have set up to take care of people in need.
All the candidates, especially the three of you who are considered the major candidates, pretty much agree on the issues. Is there anything you tend to agree with Republicans about?
Agree with Republicans about. That's tough. I'm telling you, the Republicans are making very, very difficult. The moderate wing of the Republican Party has nearly evaporated. I think someone in an interview asked me, which Republican member of Congress do you most admire or would like to work with. And I said, well, you know, Susan Collins is leaving. Dick Lugar got kicked out of office by a Tea Party primary, and Chris Shays left a while ago. So, you know, it's really, let's put it this way, the Republicans are making it very, very difficult to,
what,
to find.
What's the biggest problem in the district that you want the federal government to help with?
Without a doubt, the biggest problem in the district is the extent to which the deck is stacked against ordinary working people. And you see that in a number of metrics. The fact that nearly 60% of Americans, and it's probably mirrored in the district, don't have any pension whatsoever and are completely reliant on Social Security, which is going to run out in 20 years unless we take immediate action. The fact that a kid has a trouble going to college and leaving college with a degree without having a mountain of debt. It's like having a mortgage and no house to show for it. It's very, very hard for ordinary people in this district, my family, the people that I grew up with, to get ahead in the world. And the most disturbing, I guess, representation of that is this fact, that a kid today born in the middle 20% of the income bracket in this country is more likely to go down the economic ladder as they grow into adulthood rather than up. And there are lots of things that we can do at the federal level to reverse that trend.
The Times profiles this race today, including perceived weaknesses of each. For you, it says, you acknowledge that you can be arrogant, even irritating. Is that what people want in Congress, which is already arrogant and irritating?
I think what people want in Congress, in particular from this district, is someone who's going to be a vocal advocate for the things that they care about, someone who's going to stand up and fight the Republicans, and someone who's able to get results. I mean, I was able to pass 19 laws in my first 5 years in the Assembly, substantive laws relating to Homeland Security, leveling the economic playing field. I chaired a subcommittee for nearly 3 years, or maybe over 3 years, on workplace safety, and I wasn't afraid to take on employers who were not providing safe workplaces for their workers. So if you look at the people that this district has sent to Washington, the voters in the 6th district want to see someone who can go to Washington, who can fight for their interests, and who can get results. Yep. And in this race, that's me.
You're an assemblyman now. What's the most meaningful job you've had in your life so far other than politician?
Well, I don't know if being a vendor at Shea Stadium and watching the ball go through Bill Buckner's legs in 86 was what counts as the most meaningful. It might be the most satisfying. But before I was an assemblyman, I was a lawyer in private practice for, I guess, 15-plus years, representing people. You know, I graduated from Columbia Law School. I spent a year and a half working on Wall Street, realized that wasn't for me. And then I developed a legal career representing people who were discriminated against in the workplace, women who were sexually harassed, people who were denied overtime wages, cheated in the stock market. That was my most meaningful employment experience in all seriousness, I'd have to say.
What's the last nonfiction book that you read?
I read a series by Patrick O'Brien. Your listeners might know it as the Master and Commander series from the movie, but it's a series of 19 books, and it has to do. It's historical fiction, which might seem quite. It's naval historical fiction, which might seem quite esoteric.
So it's fiction,
but read
them
and
fiction, but with a nonfiction cast to it.
Exactly. No. It's fiction with a fiction cast. But it's based on real events of the early 1800s. And it might seem very esoteric, but it's so beautifully written and just captures the politics and history of that era.
Assemblyman Rory Lantzman, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
We are interviewing the four candidates in next Tuesday's Democratic congressional primary in Bayside, Flushing, Fresh Meadows, Ridgewood, and Forest Hills, Queens. This is for the seat that Congressman Gary Ackerman is retiring from. Up next is Dr. Robert Mittman. Dr. Mittman, welcome to WNYC.
Hello, Brian. Thank you for inviting me on the show.
So you're the one in the race who's not a politician. Why should people elect you to Congress?
Well, because I'm different. I'm not one of the political establishment. I'm one of the community. I bring to the table. In fact, probably you summed up my reasons for running with your question to Rory Lantzman. You talked about what's his experience with the community. What I bring is I have 20 years plus of speaking to thousands of patients, telling me their woes, the stories of what they've been going through in terms of losing jobs, in terms of the economy, in terms of health care. Seniors come to my practice, and they're in the donut hole, and they have to make a decision. Do I buy a meal tonight, or do I pay for their blood pressure or their cholesterol medicines?
And what would you do about it? The article in the Times today calls you libertarian-leaning, which would be unusual for a Democratic primary contender. Are you Ron Paulish in your views?
I'm not into titles. You know, I'm called a centrist. I'm called a lot of things. But in reality, what I am is I'm the voice of the people. They keep on claiming they're the voice of the voiceless. Meanwhile, I walk down the street on Francis Lewis Boulevard, which is in Bayside, and I speak to the Joe the Fruit Man, and he talks about the fact that the Walbaum's is closing in about a month or two. I then walk down and sit in the Bayside, Blue Bay Diner, also on Francis Lewis Boulevard, and the waitress tells me that she's frightened. They've cut her hours down, and she has no health benefits. And the bottom line is that they don't see what's going out on the street. They don't understand what's going on in healthcare. They don't understand what's going on in the economy. They're career politicians, and they've failed us. And the three of them are just three peas in a pod. They just don't understand what's going on.
So as a physician, do you support so-called Obamacare?
Well, I'm in support of it, but I think it needs to be changed, and that's where I bring something to the table that none of the other three candidates do. What I do is I will be, there's only one other physician that's part of the Democratic Party in Congress. He happens to be a psychiatrist from the West. I could bring from the inside and speak to Obama and the Democrats and tell them that there's certain things I don't agree with.
Such as?
Such as the donut hole. We have to eliminate the donut hole. It's not fair to our seniors. It doesn't make sense. These are people who've worked since their teenage years, contributed to the community, and this is how we pay them back. Also, I don't agree with Medicare cuts as part of the Obama plan. It's wrong. If you understand, you know, the problem with the Affordable Care Act is we're aiming towards cutting money, and the cuts are going to be against seniors.
Where would the money come from for all that additional Medicare spending and the additional spending on prescription drugs if you fill the donut hole?
Okay, well, I have a strong plan. One, I'd cut the military budget by 30%. I don't believe that we should be the policemen of the world. We spend about 50% of the world's cost on military expenditures. We must cut that down to $700 billion a year. $700 billion. In addition, we're subsidizing the oil companies. Explain to me and the readers and your listeners, why would we subsidize oil companies when they're pumping oil in the United States and shipping it out to make more money? Explain to me why we're subsidizing the telecom industry. Explain to me why farm subsidies. These are not to local farmers. These are to big corporations farming. We've got to look at our expenditures. We have to balance our budget. That's the bottom line. And spend money where we should spend it. This is career politicians. They're lobbyists are their best friends in Washington. We need to change that. We need more citizens going there. My patients know what's going on. Your readers know what's going on. It's the politicians that don't.
We have a minute left. Name any two neighborhoods in the district and tell me what makes them different from each other.
Two neighborhoods in the district? Bayside is more of a middle-class area. It's policemen, it's firemen, it's school teachers. Elmhurst is more of on the west side of Queens, which is more of a Latino, Asian community. They have different needs. They have different requirements. And both of the communities, even though they're diverse, have a lot in common, including the economy has hit both of them. If you go down Bell Boulevard, if you go down Northern Boulevard, look, stores are closing. The factories have left us. Ranzoni, Domino Sugar, Swingline. When I was growing up, we had factories all over the place. Mm-hmm. We have none. Also, five hospitals in Queens have closed down. Five hospitals, three in this district. You One other thing, these three legislators who I'm running against, they represent the city and the state. Ask them why they allowed five hospitals in this district to close down. People need health care. In fact, if you're in the south part of Queens, you'd have to travel. You have no hospital to go to.
And that has to be the last word because we're out of time. Dr. Robert Mittman, candidate in the 6th Congressional District Democratic primary next Tuesday. Thank you very, very much.
Brian, thank you. And I'm a big fan of your show, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak to your listeners. And if they have any question, please go to my website. I'm different. I'm not a politician. You've got a choice between three peas in a pod or somebody who's somebody like you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Grace Meng and Elizabeth Crowley yet to come. And then we'll look at the breaking story today of the White House declaring executive privilege to keep documents out of Congress's hands about the scandalized Fast and Furious gun program. Stay with us. Kurt mentioned Wyatt Cenac. Quick reminder that Wyatt Cenac and John Hodgman from The Daily Show are going to be on Leonard Lope today, so definitely worth sticking around for that later on. We are interviewing the four candidates in next Tuesday's Democratic Congressional primary in Bayside, Flushing, Fresh Meadows, Ridgewood, Elmhurst, Forest Hills. This is for the seat that Congressman Gary Ackerman is retiring from. Up next is City Councilwoman Elizabeth Crowley. Councilwoman, welcome back to WNYC. Thank you for doing this.
Hi, good morning, Brian. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I'm your new colleague in the House, a freshman Republican from Hippo, Kentucky. I've never been to Queens, New York. Tell me about your district.
Well, my district is, you know, not much different, you know, than the rest of the country. There are people who want to achieve the American dream, you know, like the family I grew up in, you know, we are a middle-class family. You know, we all want to make sure that our generation does better than the generation before. The community that, you know, this congressional district has, the many communities, we have both Democrats and Republican, you know, we have different views, and at the end of the day, we want to make sure that we have a good quality of life and that our seniors are retiring with the benefits that they deserve and that our kids have opportunities to go to good schools and when they graduate that they're met with good opportunities for employment.
Can you name something that happened in your own life or your family's history that affected your view about an issue?
Well, now looking back, you know, I was a kid when my dad died. I'm one of 15 children, which is different than many people today, but I grew up in a big family where family was important. And when I was only seven, my dad passed away with cancer. And at that time, my mother was a teacher, and she clearly did not make enough money to support our family, but we were lucky that she was able to access Social Security, not only for her benefit, but also for all of us, and that helped keep food on the table and put a roof over that. So, you know, many seniors today are worried about Social Security, and with all the threats that some Republicans have and want to, you know, invest in stock market, take risks that simply don't make any sense, I'm somebody who's going to go to Washington, given the opportunity, and fight for Social Security to protect it because I've experienced it in my own life, and my family depended on it, and I wouldn't be the person I am today without the benefit that it provided.
What should the U.S.'s main foreign policy goal be with respect to China? You have an opinion about that?
I think that, you know, we need to have a better trade policy with China, a fair trade policy, and I think that they need to make sure that, and we need to make sure that, you know, if we're working together, that, you know, if there are countries like Iran that pose threats on Israel or peace in the world, that they're working with us. And if we put sanctions on countries like Iran, that they, along with us, go through those sanctions. And then also, like, for our own simple trade with China, that, you know, that they're taking care of same types of labor standards that we have, or at least decent labor standards that we could respect as we purchase so many goods from the country, we want to make sure that the products we use were developed and created with people who were not being exploited.
The Times profiles the race today, including perceived weaknesses of each candidate. For you, it says, Politicos whisper that you don't have the intellectual horsepower to keep pace in Congress. Care to respond to that?
Oh, that's simply not true. Look, I will go to Congress representing the needs and concerns of the people in my district. What they care about is a lot of what I've experienced in my own life. You know, like I mentioned about Social Security. But look, I'm a mother with two kids in our local public schools. They're about to go to college. I'm worried, like so many of the parents, how am I going to afford to make sure that their quality of education, that they receive a good quality education that we can afford? And with the threat of student loan rates, the interest rates increasing, or with the rising cost of city and state universities, we need to make sure that we have representatives who understand what it's like to be a middle-class family or working to be that middle-class family and the struggles that they go through every day.
The Times also says...
And somebody who's going to, you know, fight passionately for what they believe in and bring back the resources and make sure they're well-represented.
The Times also said you may be a stalking horse for Grace Meng because you'll split the white vote with Rory Lantzman, and that maybe you're doing this as a favor to your cousin, the Queens Democratic leader Joe Crowley, who is supporting Ms. Meng. Your response?
My response is this. Look, I have more constituents than both of my opponents, maybe even both of them put together. I have over 28,000 Democrats that live in my city council district. My council district I'm well known in. You know, from polling, we've seen that I'm known, over 90% of the voters know me because of the work that I've done. I was elected the same year as Grace Meng, so there's no more government experience. And frankly, Rory Lantzman hasn't been in government that much longer himself. So all of us are not career politicians. However, I'm known to be a hard worker in the district that I represent, which clearly has a larger portion. And so any of those politicos that are saying those things about this race are clearly saying that from the outside.
What's...
And any polls that I've ever heard of, you know, be it from my own campaign or hearing those that some other groups have done, had had me ahead.
We have a minute left.
And if there was a candidate that was close and I was competitive with, it was Grace Meng. Rory Lantzman was a distant third.
What's the most meaningful job you've had in your life so far, other than politician?
Look, my first priority has always been a parent. And if that is included in what, you know, what you would say as a job profile, many of the people in the community worry first about family. Family's always been so important to me. But right out of college, I was a union painter. I studied art preservation, and I wanted to work on historic buildings, and I was lucky to have that opportunity. Some of the historic landmarks that I worked on were Radio City Music Hall and Central Synagogue, and, you know, they're all a part of our city's fabric and history, and they're important buildings, and they're they've all had a piece of my talent in them from the preservation work that I've done.
All right.
But I learned working on construction sites how important it is for someone to be represented by a union. How, you know, when you put in a long day's hard work, you know, I know what it's like to climb up scaffold, carry a 5-gallon bucket of paint, to get my hands dirty. You know, and there are many people in this district who are lucky to have good jobs like that,
and
but there are many even more that are looking for jobs like that.
City Councilwoman Elizabeth Crowley,
yes.
We are out of time. I thank you very much for doing this candidate interview with us. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thanks.
We're doing four short interviews with the four candidates in the next Democratic congressional primary, next Tuesday's Democratic congressional primary in Bayside, Flushing, Fresh Meadows, Elmhurst, Ridgewood, Forest Hills. This is for the seat that Congressman Gary Ackerman is retiring from. Last candidate up, and then we'll go look at the breaking news in the Fast and Furious program today with the White House declaring executive privilege on some documents that Congress is trying to get from them. Our final candidate for the 6th Congressional District seat is Assemblywoman Grace Meng. Assemblywoman, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
Name any two neighborhoods in the district and tell me what makes them different from each other.
Well, one neighborhood that I really have grown to love during this campaign is the Forest Hills and Kew Gardens area. It's such a diverse area. It's an area that is urban in so many ways, but yet still retains the character of a small neighborhood and working-class, middle-class families all throughout the neighborhood. The people there are wonderful, and the people there have been so receptive to me during this campaign. And another neighborhood that I truly love and always has a special place in my heart is Bayside. Bayside is a neighborhood that I grew up in, where I played in the parks, where I still go shopping often, and still have many family and friends there. And that also is really a neighborhood that has feeling of hometown America.
If you could bring home some funding for one or two projects in your district, what might they be?
One of the top issues that I've raised up, and I'm the first candidate to bring this up, and I've said before that if I have the privilege of representing the district in Congress, I would want to be on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. I think that Queens has too often been treated as a stepchild, as an outer borough, and the federal government has for too long ignored the increasing needs of the borough of Queens. This district is completely contained within the borough. Something that we really need to improve is our infrastructure and our mass transit system. It's my dream to have a more efficient and more green and clean mass transit system. It's also, we had a press conference last week talking about my desire to make sure that the LaGuardia Airport is accessible to mass transit. And that's one area that I would focus on, and it would also bring jobs back to Queens.
Is there anything you disagree with President Obama about or tend to agree with Republicans about?
Well, I think that, you know, President Obama has done a good job. I think that he should have taken advantage of his first 2 years and been a little more proactive during the first 2 years when we had a Democratic majority in the House. I think that especially in terms of Queens, the federal government and President Obama has not focused enough on being creative about bringing infrastructure projects, bringing ways where we can grow the community in our technology and as technology and science hubs. I think that these are ways that we can train our young people and help them compete more globally, and again, also to bring more jobs back to the district.
Can you name something that happened in your own life or your family's life that affected your view about an issue?
Well, I think that, you know, representing a diverse district like Flushing, I literally in the assembly have met people who come from all corners of the world. And so often I hear about stories of people who come from different corners of the world, but people who kind of have the same, you know, stories and the same concerns. These are mostly, in this new district, middle-class working families, and regardless of where they've come from, there exists a generation in every family who sacrificed their comfortable life in their home country to come to America and to go around and to hear their stories and to hear what their concerns are for their families, whether it's about education, whether it's about the economy, and whether it's just about how to make America a better place. The similarity in different people has been really striking to me.
The Times profiles the race today, including perceived weaknesses of each candidate. For you, it questions if you're too much of a machine politician because you're backed by the Queens Democratic machine. Your response to that?
Well, you know, to be honest, out of all the elected officials who are running in this race, I'm the only elected official that ever got elected without any support from Queens County, from any Democratic leadership, whether it's Queens or New York State. And so if anyone knows how to win an election, if anyone knows how to get out the vote, it's me.
We have about a minute left. Assuming a Republican majority, would you be going more to do business with the Republican majority or to fight them in Washington?
Well, I think that there are times and opportunities for both. I think that the New York Times, in its endorsement of my candidacy during this campaign, says it best. that there are parts of me and that there are times when you will need to be a fighter, a strong fighter and a strong advocate, and there will be times when you need to be a bridge builder. I think that people are sick of seeing and hearing about the bickering and the gridlock that's going on in Congress, and I'm prepared to do whatever I can to make sure that I can bring resources back to my district.
Assemblywoman Grace Meng, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
And listeners, there you have the four candidates in next Tuesday's Democratic congressional primary for the 6th Congressional District. That's the seat being vacated by Congressman Gary Ackerman, who's retiring in Bayside, Flushing, Fresh Meadows, Ridgewood, Forest Hills, Elmhurst, and other neighborhoods around there.